imagine that millions of years ago, millions of years ago, should you have come here and done a 20-mile circular around, all you would have seen is sand. It's on the floor now. And then we had the Ice Age in the world. And once the Ice Age melted, the water melted on my sand. And it built up sand, water, and built up a great big huge rock, about 300 feet high, and about 20 miles circular. Nobody stopped the water, so the water eventually formed our river, called the River Trent. Then about 1600 years ago, we get the first people that came here. And the very first people that came here were called the Snots. And for those of you that are not quite sure what the word snot implies, we do a demonstration. We get our sleeve, and we wipe our nose. And what is on your sleeve is now snot. And then you scrape it like that, because if you don't, it makes a white mark. And when you get home, your mum is very cross and sometimes smacks you because you've got a white mark on your sleeve. So as you get older, you learn to avoid being smacked. So you tend to go, it doesn't show so much on your trousers because it gets lost in the doing. So this is the way we snot. And they decided this wonderful rock, a wonderful place to settle. So they settled Snots. Snots settlement. Quite happy. And they realised, instead of making mud huts, that what a wonderful thing, this great big rock, that why not try with a sharp piece of stone roughly and go in the side of the rock. So our caves are not underground. Our caves are in the side of our big 300-foot rock. It was all around. Easy to chip out, easy to make yourself a place to live. Ceilings are not high, but you are making them yourselves. Temperature is the same throughout the year, 54 Fahrenheit. Warm in winter and cool in summer. Are our caves natural or are they man-made? Well, you're here. They are naturally man-made. Because you made them yourself out of a natural substance, naturally man-made. And then we got the Danes. The Danes arrived, the Vikings. And they called it, they couldn't say settlement. So we got called a ham. Snottingham. Then we got the King of England arriving. He called us Tituacoba, because he could see us living all in these caves. It meant place a cavey dwelling. Then we got the French king arrived and he couldn't say snuff. So we had to drop the S and we became Nottingham. This is where we get our names from. Personally, I think we should go to the European Union and insist upon our rights and being called snots, because I am a true snot. I still go up people's noses, etc. Right, so there we go. We're living in caves, wonderful place, it's warm. We've got about 400 or 500 caves still here around the city. The problem is, of course, these are the only ones that are open to the public. So we're going to move now. I'm going to show you the rest of the things that happen in that cave. Now the passageway that you've just come down. Passageway you've just come down was cut out 70 years ago, by the time of the Second World War. There were originally three separate caves down here. And then when the Second World War, 70 years ago, it was decided to turn some of our cave areas into air raid shelters. So of course this passage. Now when you look at the passage and the chip marks, it doesn't look any different to where you're standing, and yet that's 70 years. And this is 1500 years. So, and it all just looks really quite the same. Up here, 500 years ago, the man built his house, he's now looking for water. No such thing as running taps, toilet flushes, you've got none of that. So, the hand of buttholes, and he's looking for water. Now, we are the only set of caves that are on the floodplain in the River Trent. From the river to the market square is water under your feet. And up until a year ago, we always had water in all our wells. Due to new developments and a new building, they seem to have altered the water course. Now, we don't know where it is. The builders don't know where it is. Somebody one morning is going to wake up and their house is going to be floating down the River Trent. And then we'll know what happened to our water course, but we haven't got it at the moment. So this is water. Then people, you know, new management decided to turn it into a wishing well. So they put this big thing on, this big thing here, plus this stuff, is about 6 or 7 years old. Certainly wasn't here, but ridiculous, to add a bit of Walt Disney, etc. Now, as you look down there, of course, people do still make wishes, and they do throw money in. Now, we do like to tell you that if you throw 2 or 1 pence in, you've got no chance. We don't create any wishes for anything less than a £2 coin. But if you feel like throwing it in, throw it in. But don't expect the wishes, because they won't come through. The entrances that way and this way are original entrances and exits. What you come in today is 14 years old. You look down there, it would, if you know Nottingham, that would take you back to the bus station, the Broadmarsh bus station, because you're in the marshes. Dirty, grotty, smelly, lovely. Used to go. That's it, the deal on the ground. Big hole in the ground, the board, do what you need to do. Come down there, into there, and at one time, it would all disappear. Now, we've got a little. Now then, this cave was cut out 500 years ago. Lovely chipmark, all made by different peoples at different times. We've got 1,500-year-old caves, we've got 70-year-old caves. That was closed in. You could not come through. Gate, well, here, entrance to these caves is that way. Now, 250 years ago, a man up there called Mr. Lamb had a pub. Drinking, hostelry, pub. We all know what drinking.
Okay.
Drinking, yes. Now, when you came into the caves, you all paid your money to come. But what the lady didn't tell you was you have to pay to go out.
Oh dear.
Now, those of you with money are all right, because obviously when we get to the end, you follow me. Now, if you've not got any money with you, there is a gate up there, and I'll open the gate, and there is a pickaxe and a shovel. Yeah. You'll be out in 2 days.
Oh, right.
And we do need the passage cutting through, you see. So, makes it easier. Mr. Lamb's out to make money up there. And so if the policeman... Now, we did not call him a policeman. We called him the beak. Because we always said that they always have big noses, right now. The beak. Not policeman. And if the policeman's looking for you, or the beak's looking for you, or you've stolen, or you've pinched, or you've committed murder. Well, if you paid Mr. Lamb this money, he'd let you come and stay here, in his cave. And so we used to lock the gate, and you'd play cards, and eat, and have a lovely time. The trouble is, what happens if the bee comes up there into the floor of the pub and says, I'll just go and look in your cave.
Yeah.
That means when he comes down here, it's unlocked. We're all sitting here, playing cards, or so he's going to get us, isn't he? But we had, how old are you?
Six.
Six? Well, you'll do then, you'll have to do. I think you're, Marge, we might employ you. Now, every day, when you come to work in my pub, Mr. Lamb's pub, before you come into the pub, because I'm going to let you collect all the pewter mugs up, the drinking mugs, before you come, you need to fill your pockets with pebbles off the road. Yeah? And then, the minute you see the beak up there, whilst he goes to see Mr. Lamb to get the keys, and Mr. Lamb keeps him talking, your job is to take some pebbles out of your pockets. you to find a little hole in the floor up there. And when the beak's not looking, you're not to let the beak see you, you've got to pour these pebbles down that little hole. Then when we see the pebbles, we shall know to run and hide. So when the beak comes, it's empty. And the pebbles, there's the little hole, look there. And when you pour the pebbles down, we know the beak's coming. So we run. And then when the beak's gone, we come back. And then you'll have to go out and fill your pockets up again, ready for when the beak comes again. And that way, we don't get found. Good, isn't it? Now, behind you is a safe. Near the Second World War, that safe. There was Mr. Wilson. He goes back about 5 feet. And during the Second World War, he put all his papers in there. And then at the end of the war, all these caves were used just for landfill sites, old fridges and televisions and rubbish, mattresses. And then about 30 odd years ago, some of us were allowed in here to clean them. And we cleaned. And then we brought small groups down with torches. We didn't have lights, we torches. 24 girl guides. Now, do you all know what girl guides are? Girl guides. Boy Scouts? You know Boy Scouts?
Yep.
Girl guides are like Boy Scouts. But girl guides can fight better. Girl guides are more devious. Girl guides have got stronger muscles. And girl guides can fight dirty. And when they're losing, girl guides scream very loudly. And a Boy Scout, if they're fighting with a Boy Scout, boys are brought up to be honourable to girls. And so if there's a fight going on and the girl guide knows she is losing, she goes, "Oh!" And the Boy Scout says, "Oh, I'm sorry." And the minute she's out, "Whoa!" And she's got him one. And that's how devious girls are, you know, that's strong. But strong. Strong muscular. 24 girl guides one night down here. And 3 of them went through there. That door doesn't stick. We'll open it in a minute. It doesn't stick. Goes back about 5 feet. Curves round at the end so that Mr. Wilson could turn round at the end of it. It's not really hard, not anything. 3 girl guides. Their friends close the door. The girls come back up and push the door and it was stuck. That door has never stuck in 40 odd years. It was stuck. So they lay on the back and kicked. Good muscles, wouldn't open. Friends now, have you never heard 24 girl guides screaming at the top of their voices, "You've missed. You have missed a treat in your life." 20-foot line. So we've got them pulling this way, we've got them kicking that way, and it was stuck. Now the girl guide captain went to her car out there where she had a crowbar. I do not know why she had a crowbar. I didn't ask. It's not a question you ask. Why girl guide captains have got crowbars in the back of their car, would you? You wouldn't ask. And I didn't. We put the crowbar long ways, and then we got all the guides, the old tale of the turnip story, and everybody held each other round the waist, and on the word, "Pull!" We pulled. And we pulled. And we pulled. And we pulled. And we couldn't open it. So then we sent for the fireman. The fireman was not happy when he came. And, well, he said 4 words. I only understood one of them. Didn't understand the others. And he went up to that door. Stuck, been stuck for nearly an hour. He went up to that door, put his hand on that door and said, "What's the matter with it?" And it opened. Never been so embarrassed in all my... Embarrassed? Well, he said 3 more words on the way out and didn't recognise any of them as he went out. I've never been so embarrassed in my life. It opened. Now there's 2 bars, but it's never stuck. Now, we do have a ghost down here called Brother Dominic, and I will be quite certain in my life that one night, Brother Dominic didn't want girl guides down here. Now, Brother Dominic used to live in a monastery just outside here, a long, long time ago. And sometimes you sometimes see him, but usually of an evening. Brother Dominic, and that night, Girl Guide was out. Now, as you walk through, if you want to stand up and open that door. Come on, my worker. My worker's supposed to be open it wide, open it right wide, all the way open, all the way, keep pulling it back, keep pulling it back. And there, look, you open it wide, let everybody look. Did the door stick?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Did the door ever stick? No. Was I in Barry? Yes. Tanning. Do you want to look at the leathers? Do you have the difference between the tannings in the skins? The skins that you would use for your boots or your settees or your gloves. The difference is. You see, it doesn't stick, that door. Never has done. Except for once. Right, this here is all about tanning. We have six different areas of tanning, around about 450 years ago. And the one I'm going to show you is the only one that is left in the whole of England. There's no other tanneries absolutely left. Show you how it works as we go along. You look at this board. I'm going to show you this pillar. That pillar is as old as Robin Hood. Now, the back, many years ago, was a big open yard. Now, of course, it's closed in. Now, we have a River Trent, but up until 150 years ago, where this green is, was our River Leen. Now, the River Leen, 450 years ago, is your drinking water, pooing in water, doing your washing in water, being sick in water, and if you can find a clear bit, highly unlikely, have a bath in water. So it's the water for everything here in Nottingham, here, because there's no such thing as taps and etc. And the smell for skinning and tanning was so bad, we never had the rats. You never have the rats down here. Your skins. Now you've got to get your skins. You've got to strip all the fur and hair that you can, and then you've got to clear all the dry blood, the fat, the grease, the slime, the rotting flesh, and the smell to start with. Now, we are paying very good wages because this is a family firm. Very good wages. And we paid 8 shillings a year 450 years ago. 8 shillings a year. Now, this 8 shillings today, for a year's work, no holidays, 51 and a half weeks a year would be equivalent to your money of came from the local pub. 14 pumps in 4 minutes from here. And the landlord would brew his own ale, because no such thing as in the future, these here brewery things. So he brewed his ale. Now, once he sold the barrel full of ale, he would then use it for you all to pee in it. Toilets. When it was full of pee, put the lid on, roll it round to us, we empty it next door, put the lid on, roll it back, and he starts brewing again in the barrel. You know, these breweries have ruined the taste of ale. Ruined the taste. Along here, well, you've got your back put on here. And this is where you've had your skins for a year, 12 months. The red marks you can see round, this is red clays. Full up with 300 skins. Now, they're going to be in here for a year. And in that time, every day we need half a barrel of pee, urine, in here. You apprentices are in there now swirling it round. And if you're not in there swirling it round, you're round Nottingham with a bucket and a spade. And you're picking up all the poo, excrement, dung you can find. Dog poo, pigeon plop, car pat, rotting cabbages, sour milk. Dead rats, take the skins off, we don't want the skins. It's dead rats with bricks, stick it in your bucket, wonderful. Here, and we need a bucket a day for 12 months in here. So if you're not in it, swirling it, you're out in it, picking it up. Wonderful. 8 shillings a year, money with petrol, extortionate. Then we have the cleaner. So where are we going to clean them? We're going to clean them in the River Lee, which is your lot's drinking water. So all this poo is now going back in to the water. We have to do it in the dead of night, because if we do it in the daytime, we'll get fined. And the beak will find us. Mm-hmm. Bring them all back clean. This side, the word tanning. And this is where it comes from. The tanning is the old English oak tree. To distribute all of its bark, bark and skins, fall to the top, water, take your shoes off, in there, pounding it up and down. So the bark comes from the old English oak tree, really. Then we take them out, rub them with oil, and lo and behold, 15 months later, you're wearing wonderful leather boots, or leather bags, or leather jackets, or leather gloves, and all our hard work. As you bend your head to come under here on your left, you'll see a picture of the boys in Morocco, who are still, Now this meant Second World War, we had 11 air raids here in Nottingham. We didn't get bombed every day, like London or Coventry, because all we really had was an ammunition factory. We had 6 areas of Kenya's reused to run to for safety. And of course, the minute you heard the bombs, you all had to turn your lights out. Because if you did, they might bomb your house, or bomb your workplace, or bomb your school. 11 air raids, 1 ammunition factory. Now this cave is set out to look like an Anderson shelter. Our caves didn't need any of this corrugated stuff. But the Anderson shelter was what you built at the bottom of your garden. You dug it all out, you made a big deep hole, you lined it with this silver stuff, and then on the top of it you put grass hods to look like a lawn. So that at the bottom of your gardens you've all got a shelter. Our caves are just a normal sandstone that stick forever in a day. But of course, we have to teach you how to survive. First thing you're going to do is to dig up your gardens. Dig for victory. good soup, potato pea there, and Dr. Carrot, planting, digging. Because all the ships coming across the sea are getting bombed. So all our food isn't coming. All our men have gone off to fight for a country we've never even heard of. Certainly don't know the language. But now off we go, because good old England there, you have to go and help somebody else. Leaving all of us to survive. We're an island, surrounded by water. Who's going to look after us? Well, nobody. We've got to look after ourselves. Careless talk. Up there? You don't tell anybody where the ammunition factory is, because one of you could be a spy. And we used to have sayings, so you don't talk. So, you have to say, can you say this one? Luscious lips sink ships. Can you say that? Luscious lips sink ships. Luscious lips sink ships. Next one. Tittle's tattle lost the battle. Tittle's tattle lost the battle. Tittle's tattle lost the battle. And my favourite, be like dad, keep mum. I like that, be like, in other words, shut up. Then, of course, we want to teach you gas mask. The gas mask attack. Okay, so the gas attack. Gas mask boxes at all times will be carried. Whether you go to school, to work, to pictures, dancing. And these gas mask boxes spoil many a romance. Because you see, you saw the man of your dreams. And he came towards you to ask you to dance. And he was wearing his gas mask box. Well, you can't whisper in each other's ears with two gas mask boxes, can you? I mean, it's spoiled many ears. I have to put on the gas mask. You've got to put this on at night time, not in the day, because it's going to be dark. Rubber. You've got to get your chin in, get your hair over, get your head in, and like that. And they stick to your face. And they're dark. And they steam up. And the worst thing is, when you've finally got this on, after days of practice, you've just got it on, and you've struggled. And then your nose starts to run. Now, you can't get your hand up there to do that. So you just stuck your tongue out and licked him. Now, if you were little, the Donald Duck gas mask, worn with a spaceman's helmet, called the Donald Duck, because when you breathe, the tongue flaps like Donald Duck. Tongue flaps. Rationing, well, rationing. Of course, when the war ended, after 6 years, rationing didn't end. We had another 7 years. Everybody had a book like this one. Everybody was entitled to one book. Rapid. There are no supermarkets. Mr. Wimpy's, Mr. McDonald's, I don't know, Mr. Anybody. No supermarkets, no deep freezers, no anything. You queued. When you got to the shop counter and paid your money, every one of these strips is 1 week. 1 week's food. And if you've used that week, you can't go on to the second week till the Sunday. So you had one loaf of bread, 4 ounces of butter, 1 pound of sugar, 2 ounces of chocolate a week. Half a bar of chocolate a week. Not half a bar of chocolate, 3 Kit Kats, 2 Snickers, a Polo and an Aero. No. Just half a bar of chocolate. And of course material, clothing. You can't go and buy 4 pairs of trousers and 3 jumpers. You had material. You either bought material or you bought a dress. And then, useful jobs for girls to do, look. You learnt to make your own clothes or you learnt to knit your own. Toys? Well, how to make your own toys. No computers, whatever, today. Laptops. You made it. Your own toys out of bits of material and bits of things you thought you might throw away. Women, of course, would wear skirts to the knees. Boys would wear short trousers. And girls, of course, would wear short skirts. This is because all this wasted material of trousers would have provided 3 soldiers with uniforms. So, this is our war. All the things you see here They're all real, all 70 years old, from the fire buckets to the siren that people have spun round so much that, of course, it's broken all the swings. But they're all, everything you can see, real, 70 years ago. And I think we paid a war debt off 2 years ago. Genuine things, pictures, the lot. Now, from here, you're going to walk down to the end. Down the steps, through the old pub cellar, and back up again. On the way down there, you'll see an old Victorian kitchen. You can't miss it. It's a, imagine 12 children lived in that small area 150 years ago. Now, before you get there, you'll see an unexploded bomb. It's a big grey thing. It sticks out of the ground. You can't miss it. The War Office said, as far as they know, it's safe. But not to throw stones, coins, or pebbles. Should you do so and you hear it ticking, stay in the same direction but start running very, very fast. Don't come back and find me. It's every man for himself and I'll be long gone up there. Any questions we can answer, we'll be glad to answer either down here or upstairs. Otherwise, do have a look round. You know, if you want to take a photograph of somebody wearing a gas mask, then please do so. It's here for you to look at. Right?
Okay.
Right, and thank you. I'll see you upstairs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.